This is Johnny Moore of johnnymoore.com, and this is a podcast I recorded in February 2006 with James Cherkoff of collaboratemarketing.com. We interviewed Dave Nicholson of Zopa, and after a few minutes, we were also joined by James Alexander from Zopa. We recorded this in a very lively Italian cafe in the West End of London, so there is a fair bit of background noise, but I think you'll find it interesting.
So Dave, maybe we could just start by just going over again what the business model is for Zopa. What are you trying to do?
Well, very, very simply, Johnny, it's an online marketplace where people can lend and borrow money. And it's a place where anyone can come along and lend money to creditworthy individuals directly, person to person, with no middleman, no bank in the middle. And because there's no bank, with none of the overheads or the costs of a bank, both lenders and borrowers get a better rate. So lenders get a better return on their money than they would do putting in a savings account. Borrowers get a better rate of borrowing than they can do going to a bank. So it's very simple. We just sit in the middle. We take a small cut of the transaction, 1% fee for matching up the lenders and borrowers, much in the same way that eBay takes a fee for actually matching up a buyer and a seller on eBay. And we manage all the repayments process. We manage the credit checking, the fraud checking, so that actually it's a very secure site for people to come and lend and borrow money, because after all, it's money. It's not just, you know, it's not a Hello Kitty purse or anything like that you sell on eBay. It's actually real cash. So we take a lot of security precautions in the same way that a bank does. But essentially, we're just the platform that matches up people. And it's been going really well. So we launched back in March. We've got over 50,000 registered members, in the millions of pounds of cash transacted, and it's going well. We've had no bad debt, so that all those credit checks and fraud protection, they're working.
So not one bad debt amongst how many loans?
In the hundreds, right in the hundreds. We've had missed payments, and we've used our collections agency to chase people up and get them back on track again. So particularly after Christmas, you know, the first bills come in after Christmas, and you're like, oh God, I didn't realize I spent that much money, and you know, maybe I'll let it slip. So we had a couple of those, but both of those are now back on track.
Right.
So it's been really good, actually. Really successful, really good start to the business.
We last spoke, I think it was in March, just at the time of your launch.
Yeah.
What are some of the lessons you've learned from your first year of actual trading?
I think when we launched, we had a huge amount of PR. So we got a mass amount of publicity, and we generated an enormous amount of interest. And one of the challenges we've faced, I think, has been turning that interest into actual transactions. So the very first day we launched, we ended up on the front page of the BBC News website and got a tremendous amount of traffic. And not many of those people actually ended up being lenders or borrowers. So we've been working on our conversion and working on getting people through the process and getting them to transact. And I think that's probably been one of the hardest tasks we've faced. And we're cracking it. So now we're much more focused in how we recruit people, how we market to people, the messages we say, and actually people who are come to the website are far more likely to transact than they ever were when we started. So there's been a translation from Zopa as, oh, that's an interesting idea and I should go and have a look at it, to actually that's a really great idea and I should transact on it.
So what sort of things have you done that changed it in your favour, and what mistakes have you made? I should point out to listeners that we're now joined by James Alexander, who's CEO, is that right? Is that your grand title, James?
I'm running a UK business.
We were just talking about what we learned over the first year and sort of mistakes we've made or things we might have done differently, and kind of in terms of really turning Zopa from an idea to actually something that people want to transact on.
My biggest personal learning, and it's probably common to all startups, is there's an axis called time, and there's some things that time gives you that you can't sort of get out before you've gone through time. So we got told an awful lot of no's from partners, from lots of organisations that we're working with, that after 6 months turned into yeses, and actually nothing had fundamentally changed.
Right.
So we weren't materially, really, as an organisation further down the path, but we've just been around for 6 months.
I mean, one of the things for me has just been just how great our members are. I mean, how really motivated by Zopa are, how much they endorse us, how much they advocate us, how interested they are in our success, how helpful they are. I mean, we get comments on the blog, we get emails regularly, suggestions, advice about what we should be doing, and probably some of those we should have listened to earlier than we did, but we got through, you know, our first year of adding new functionality to the site. It's been driven largely by what members have been saying.
What would be an example of that then, Dave?
And probably messaging. So messaging is quite interesting. So when you borrow, you can leave a message for people that are lending to you. And it's a very simple thing, incredibly simple thing actually to do from a functional perspective. So some of the lenders actually love it. So they get messages from their borrowers, and we're investigating, giving them the ability to reply to those messages. But it's messages about why people borrow, what they're doing with the money, why they ended up needing to borrow money, and it's just something about humanising the whole experience. Because although it's about people lending money to people, it's an online experience, and sometimes that distances you from the people. So actually understanding some of the stories about understanding the people behind the faceless username has been really, really interesting to people. And it's a talking point, a real talking point for our members. I mean, we had some research groups yesterday, and people were saying it's fascinating to discover, just completely coincidentally, that you'd lent money to someone who you're a teacher, they were a teacher, or you grew up in the same part of the world, or those sort of things. Those sort of little sparks of coincidence that make it just so different from anything else out there, financial terms, anyway.
We talked earlier about your telephone. Salespeople, I think you call them salespeople. But people might think of Zopen as this very, very online business, but actually having people talking to people on the phone has been quite important from what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean I think it makes people feel much more reassured about Zopen as a credible business. Again, it's a credibility thing. So, it's all very well firing off an email into the unknown or using a website. But actually when you get a real human on the phone talking to you and saying, "Hi, it's Des from Zopen. I see you registered with us, if you run into any problems, is there anything I can do to help? Have you heard about this new thing that we've got in development? Are you interested in that?" It's just a very reassuring message. And they've been great, actually. I mean, there's only three or four of them, and we've had them in around for probably six to eight weeks. They made a real difference. And when you go and talk to members, and again, in the focus groups we've been running over the last few weeks, people say, somebody from Zopen phoned me up, and it's great just to hear a voice on the end of the phone. It makes me feel much more comfortable about dealing with them.
What struck me as interesting is your telephone sales are not in a call centre somewhere remote, but they're in the same open plan office as all of you are. So I imagine you're overhearing these, at least one end of these conversations on a constant basis.
And that's very deliberate. So hopefully we learn a lot more from doing that. Hopefully there isn't a barrier between us and our members as a consequence of putting it somewhere else and putting it in a homed off place.
So where are most of your new members coming from?
I mean, ever since we launched, we've sort of had a word of mouth recruitment channel, if you like. It's not really a channel in the traditional marketing sense, but it's definitely a source of new members. So the member advocacy thing I was mentioning earlier, I mean, that's quite a strong recruitment source for us. Now, that hasn't been our only source of recruitment, so we do a lot of the online marketing things you'd expect any online business to do.
So we're getting about 20-30% of our members are coming from word of mouth, and that number in absolute terms is growing sort of month on month. And as Dave said, we've got several other channels, so particularly on the borrowing side, actually just having the best borrowing products in the country means you get a lot of traffic, particularly coming off SBI tables. And coming from journalism. And on the lender side, what we're finding is that articles about Zopen are a very major driver of getting new lending in. So that's a very important channel. So on the lender side, word of mouth and press has been very, very dominant.
And just on the word of mouth thing, there's I wrote an article on the blog the other day called Flipping the Funnel, which is Seth Godin, who's a kind of marketing guru, who's his latest concept of take the traditional marketing funnel of pouring in people at the top and getting some customers at the bottom and turn it into a megaphone, which is slightly interesting. And he suggests a couple of ways of doing that, one of which is having a blog and letting people discuss on the blog the things and be very open with customers. Another one is using online tools like Delicious, the social book marketing tool, and encouraging your members to go and to mark your site and tag it with various keywords and sort of help encourage your members to help you. So actually giving them the tools, giving them suggestions about how they can actually help Zopen succeed. So that's something we're exploring at the moment, which is very non-traditional marketing.
So do you have more members or more lenders or more borrowers after 1 year?
We have slightly more borrowers.
It's surprisingly balanced. I think we were astonished when we launched that it was like that. Our assumption going in was that we'd end up with far more borrowers than lenders, because lenders are the ones taking the risk. So you'd assume, therefore, they might be slightly wary. And actually, continuously, we get equalish numbers of both, and it varies week by week. But depending on who we're targeting, some of the marketing we do, but it's extraordinary. quite helpful, because that means the market stays more in balance than you would do otherwise. So the challenge for us is sort of managing that and making sure the market stays liquid and has equal-ish levels of borrowers and lenders in it. But it's enormously helped by the fact we get equal numbers coming in.
you've spawned a couple of imitators recently.
Some more credible than others.
One slightly different from another. I'm trying to remember the name of
Mogo.ca.
Is that something you want to talk about live on this, or can we avoid that subject?
happily talk about Mogo. Well, they're hardly an imitator. They've just nicked our website. Quite scandalously. They are a payday loans company.
Right.
So they're nothing like...
So they look like you on the website, but the model is...
Entirely different. They're a traditional payday loans, borrow $100 for a week, pay back $150 type arrangement.
Right. And then more recently... we've seen Prosper emerge just in the last few days.
Yeah.
So how would you, based on what you've seen so far, contrast them with you?
I mean, I just think it's fantastic they've launched. So how fantastic. So one thing we're hell-bent on is that this is a model that will work. And, you know, we're hoping it will work for us. And, you know, we're glad there's other people that think it's going to work and we're going to make it work for them. And obviously we would like to knock seven bells out of them and win. I think it's great news that we've got a competitor. And, you know, why? Because we'll learn a lot from them. It's great. It's great they're around.
Yeah, so one obvious difference is they use group functionality. So they have group leaders, and as a borrower you can become a member of a group. Now that's something, it's a route we haven't gone down, and it's sort of it's something we're going to watch quite closely, because it's a different take on a similar model, and it's something that we might be interested in going down ourselves in the future, but we just want to see how it works out, so we keep it quite a close eye.
That was what leapt out at me as the most significant difference on a quick look at that site. I thought that was interesting, that they seem to be exploring ways of creating what you might call a different way of creating social trust.
Yes.
So the idea being that if you join along with some of your work colleagues or community colleagues, that increases the pressure on you not to default, because you start to lose face with your community, and you diminish your community score. So I thought, I have no idea how that will work in practice, but I thought an interesting, you know, brave innovations.
It puts a lot of responsibility on the group leaders to manage the people within a group and to recruit people into that group carefully. So it's quite, they in some ways they've sort of pushed down some of the recruitment and acquisition of new members to some of their other members. So it's potentially quite a viral way of growing the business. My suspicion is it'll be a very slow way of growing the business. And so certainly tracking them over the first few days, they've got very low levels of volume going through their site. But it's worth watching. It's very interesting. And like James said, you know, we're planning on going out there and kicking seven bells out of them, so it'll be interesting to see who wins in the end.
Are you going out to the US fairly soon then? Or?
Yeah, we're going to be launching there in Q2.
So what does a Zopa person look like in terms of a customer? Now you've had a year to experience to find your customer base. Is it who you expected it to be?
I guess I can ask that quite well. I've been to Baker Street over the last few days and actually seen some of our customers in the flesh. They are, I think. They're quite a broad range of people. I mean, there's no one age group or ethnicity or attitude, really. I mean, I think what they do have in common is they are, you know, they're early adopting, clearly. They're interested in Zopa, interested in new ideas. They're financially pretty savvy. I mean, there's very little difference between our lenders and borrowers. So our borrowers could equally be lenders could be borrowers. There's big overlap there, I believe. And they're quite, I mean, we've done some research, they're extraordinarily techy. They're extraordinarily heavy users of things like blogs and PayPal, eBay, I mean, just extraordinary. And I just think that they come into Zopa for different reasons. It's quite interesting to listen to people in the group say the last couple of days. So some people come for rates, some people come because it's a new thing, some people come because it's fun, actually. And fun and money aren't two things you normally put together, and actually Zopa is fun for some people. So people come for different reasons, but they are united by being early adopting, wanting to cut out the banks is quite a common thing as well. So there are some commonalities, but they're not in sort of traditional demographic commonalities, I don't think. I mean, I think the commonalities are in attitudes and behaviours rather than anything that you can actually target, particularly marketing at. So you can't say they're 24 to 35-year-old London blokes. Some of them will be. Others will be completely different. I think our oldest member is well into his 70s, and our youngest is in their 20s, so it's a wide range.
You mentioned you met them in the flesh recently.
Yes, so we've been doing some research groups. Not all 50,000 of them. No, a small group of them. And just chatting to them face to face is very, very interesting.
Any surprises in that?
Surprising. I think it's just almost a challenge to us, actually, just to continue to simplify. So make it easier to understand, make it easier to use, to just drive on simplicity. Yeah. And just in terms of usage. So our members to date have been extremely tolerant of having to do quite a lot of work themselves. So actually, how can we minimise the amount of effort that they need to put in? So really, really obvious, very, very obvious things.
Could you give a specific thing
at the moment is as borrowers will pay their money back to lenders, lenders are actually having to go back in themselves and put their money back out on the market. So a very obvious thing to do is make that an automatic relend, such that actually you can just put your £1,000 in and forget about it and come back in 5 years and see what's happened if you wanted to do that. Now, a lot of our members today are quite happy playing because Dave says they're quite enjoying understanding who their borrowers are and what's going on and what's happening in the market and the rates going up or down and get quite involved. But there's another group of people that frankly just want a much easier
hands-off approach.
So you mentioned earlier there is a fun element to Zoho. Is that the social element? Because that's a common thing in blogging and among bloggers.
I mean, the line that lots of people use in the focus groups is from a lending side, is it's more interesting than interest. So interest is really boring. You've got your ING account or your Barings, or your Barclays account, and you just get your money paid back, and it's all very well, and you make 4.5%, and that's fine. Okay, on Zoho, there's an opportunity to make it a little bit more, and that's kind of engaging. And you can see where your money is. It's very visible. To a bank, your money goes off and someone else does something with it and you don't really understand what, and you get an interest payment back, whereas at Zopa actually it's a bit more involving. And not everyone wants to be involved, I'm not saying that for a second, but actually having the tangibility of around seeing where it goes, drilling down and looking at who is borrowing it and what are they using it for, and
so
what messages
so all
do
lenders
they write
can
back.
See who their borrowers are.
So as a lender you can drill down and look at where all of your money's gone. You can see the age of the person you've lent it to, where they live in the country, their username. You can see some pictures about their attitudes to money and their attitudes to life, and you can see the messages that they've written back to you, and there's some really human stories in there. So I don't know, an example, one of the ones from a lady who just sort of said, I've recently got divorced, thank you, Zopa lenders, whoever you are, for lending me this money, because it's going to allow me to buy a caravan to continue to take my children on holiday. Now, that's a really human story. Now, lenders are jolly happy because they're getting 7% gross return so far on average today. Well, that beats, that's a lot better than leaving your money with ING Direct, and a gazillion times better than having your money with Barclays. But you're also getting something over on top of that, which is some feeling for where your money's going, that it perhaps is doing something good, and a much more sort of human message back.
And one route we might take that is to actually let people express more of themselves, so upload their own photos or tell more about themselves, just create profiles for their members. So some people would love that. So you look at successes like MySpace, people love the idea of expressing themselves online, and other people would clearly think it was a huge turn off. Why on earth would I want to do that? But there's some potential there for some people to actually make that social element much more rich.
And just to draw this to a close, have you had any blue sky thoughts about other markets you might one day move into after you've revolutionised personal finance?
Lots and lots, but we don't let Dave have them.
Okay, put back in my box. I mean, the potential for the idea, I think, is huge. There are obvious extension lines and financial services that everyone mentions, mortgages, skill lending, but right now we're just going to concentrate on this one because it's big enough.
And anyone who wants to continue this can have a conversation with you at your blog.
Yes, please do.
Zopa.com.
Blog.zopa.com.
It's at blog.zopa.com.
Come and say hello.